Topic 6. Your Knowledge Portfolio. Benjamin Franklin once said, "An investment in knowledge always pays the best interest." Ah, good old Ben, never at a loss for a pithy homily. Why, if we could just be early to bed and early to rise, we'd be great programmers, right? The early bird might get the worm, but what happens to the early worm? In this case, though, Ben really hit the nail on the head. Your knowledge and experience are your most important day-to-day professional assets. Unfortunately, they're expiring assets, something whose value diminishes over time, such as a warehouse full of bananas and a ticket to a ball game. Your knowledge becomes out of date as new techniques, languages, and environments are developed. Changing market forces may render your experience obsolete or irrelevant. Given the ever-increasing pace of change in our technological society, this can happen pretty quickly. As the value of your knowledge declines, so does your value to your company or client. We want to prevent this from ever happening. Your ability to learn new things is your most important strategic asset. But how do you learn how to learn? And how do you know what to learn? Your knowledge portfolio. We like to think of all the facts programmers know about computing, the application domains they work in, and all their experience as their knowledge portfolios. Managing a knowledge portfolio is very similar to managing a financial portfolio. 1. Serious investors invest regularly, as a habit. 2. Diversification is the key to long-term success. 3. Smart investors balance their portfolios between conservative and high-risk, high-reward investments. 4. Investors try to buy low and sell high for maximum return. 5. Portfolios should be reviewed and rebalanced periodically. To be successful in your career, you must invest in your knowledge portfolio using these same guidelines. The good news is that managing this kind of investment is a skill just like any other. It can be learned. The trick is to make yourself do it initially and form a habit. Develop a routine which you follow until your brain internalizes it. At that point, you'll find yourself sucking up new knowledge automatically. Building your portfolio. Invest regularly. Just as in financial investing, you must invest in your knowledge portfolio regularly, even if it's just a small amount. The habit is as important as the sums, so plan to use a consistent time and place, away from interruptions. A few sample goals are listed in the next section. Diversify. The more different things you know, the more valuable you are. As a baseline, you need to know the ins and outs of the particular technology you are working with currently. But don't stop there. The face of computing changes rapidly. Hot technology today may well be close to useless, or at least not in demand, tomorrow. The more technologies you are comfortable with, the better you'll be able to adjust to change. And don't forget all the other skills you need, including those in non-technical areas. Manage risk. Technology exists along a spectrum from risky, potentially high reward, to low risk, low reward standards. It's not a good idea to invest all of your money in high-risk stocks that might collapse suddenly, nor should you invest all of it conservatively and miss out on possible opportunities. Don't put all your technical eggs in one basket. Buy low, sell high. Learning an emerging technology before it becomes popular can be just as hard as finding an undervalued stock, but the payoff can be just as rewarding. Learning Java back when it was first introduced and unknown may have been risky at the time, but it paid off handsomely for the early adopters when it became an industry mainstay later. Review and rebalance. This is a very dynamic industry. That hot technology you started investigating last month might be stone cold by now. Maybe you need to brush up on that database technology that you haven't used in a while. Or perhaps you could be better positioned for that new job opening if you tried out that other language. Of all these guidelines, the most important one is the simplest to do. Tip 9. Invest regularly in your knowledge portfolio. Now that you have some guidelines on what and when to add to your knowledge portfolio, what's the best way to go about acquiring intellectual capital with which to fund your portfolio? Here are a few suggestions from Dave and Andy.
Learn at least one new language every year. Different languages solve the same problems in different ways. By learning several different approaches, you can help broaden your thinking and avoid getting stuck in a rut. Additionally, it's easy to learn new languages thanks to the wealth of freely available software.
Read a technical book each month. While there's a glut of short-form essays and occasional reliable answers on the web, for deep understanding, you need long-form books. Browse the booksellers for technical books on interesting topics related to your current project. Once you're in the habit, read a book a month. After you've mastered the technologies you're currently using, branch out and study some that don't relate to your project.
Read non-technical books, too. It's important to remember that computers are used by people, people whose needs you are trying to satisfy. You work with people, are employed by people, and get hacked by people. Don't forget the human side of the equation, as that requires an entirely different skill set. We ironically call these soft skills, but they're actually quite hard to master.
Take classes. Look for interesting courses at a local or online college or university, or perhaps at the next nearby trade show or conference.
Participate in local user groups and meetings. Isolation can be deadly to your career. Find out what people are working on outside your company. Don't just go and listen. Actively participate.
Experiment with different environments. If you've worked only in Windows, spend some time with Linux. If you've only used Makefiles in an editor, try a sophisticated IDE with cutting-edge features, and vice versa.
Stay current. Read news and posts online about technology that's different from that of your current project. It's a great way to find out what experiences other people are having with it, the particular jargon they use, and so on.
It's important to continue investing. Once you feel comfortable with some new language or a bit of technology, move on. Learn another one. It doesn't matter whether you ever use any of these technologies on a project, or even whether you put them on your resume. The process of learning will expand your thinking, opening you to new possibilities and new ways of doing things. The cross-pollination of ideas is important. Try to apply the lessons you've learned to your current project. Even if your project doesn't use that technology, perhaps you can borrow some ideas. Get familiar with object orientation, for instance, and you'll write procedural programs differently. Understand the functional programming paradigm, and you'll write object-oriented code differently, and so on. Opportunities for learning. So, you're reading voraciously. You're on top of all the latest breaking developments in your field, not an easy thing to do, and somebody asks you a question. You don't have the faintest idea what the answer is, and freely admit as much. Don't let it stop there. Take it as a personal challenge to find the answer. Ask around, search the web, the scholarly parts too, not just the consumer parts. If you can't find the answer yourself, find out who can. Don't let it rest. Talking to other people will help build your personal network, and you may surprise yourself by finding solutions to other, unrelated problems along the way. And that old portfolio just keeps getting bigger. All of this reading and researching takes time. And time is already in short supply. So you need to plan ahead. Always have something to read in an otherwise dead moment. Time spent waiting for doctors and dentists can be a great opportunity to catch up on your reading. But be sure to bring your own e-reader with you, or you might find yourself thumbing through a dog-eared 1973 article about Papua New Guinea. Critical thinking. The last important point is to think critically about what you read and hear. You need to ensure that the knowledge in your portfolio is accurate and unswayed by either vendor or media hype. Beware of the zealots who insist that their dogma provides the only answer. It may or may not be applicable to you and your project. Never underestimate the power of commercialism. Just because a web search engine lists a hit first doesn't mean that it's the best match. The content provider can pay to get top billing. Just because a bookstore features a book prominently doesn't mean it's a good book or even popular. They may have been paid to place it there. Tip 10. Critically analyze what you read and hear. Critical thinking is an entire discipline unto itself, and we encourage you to read and study all you can about it. In the meantime, here's a head start with a few questions to ask and think about. Ask the five whys. A favorite consulting trick. Ask why at least five times. Ask a question and get an answer. Dig deeper by asking why. Repeat as if you were a petulant four-year-old, but a polite one. You might be able to get closer to a root cause this way. Who does this benefit? It may sound cynical, but follow the money can be a very helpful path to analyze. The benefits to someone else or another organization may be aligned with your own or not. What's the context? Everything occurs in its own context, which is why one-size-fits-all solutions often don't. Consider an article or book touting a best practice. Good questions to consider are, best for who? What are the prerequisites? What are the consequences, short and long term? When or where would this work? Under what circumstances? Is it too late, too early? Don't stop with first-order thinking, what will happen next, but use second-order thinking. What will happen after that? Why is this a problem? Is there an underlying model? How does the underlying model work? Unfortunately, there are very few simple answers anymore. But with your extensive portfolio and by applying some critical analysis to the torrent of technical articles you will read, you can understand the complex answers. Here's a few challenges. Start learning a new language this week. Always programmed in the same old language? Try Clojure, Elixir, Elm, F#, Go, Haskell, Python, R, ReasonML, Ruby, Rust, Scala, Swift, TypeScript, or anything else that appeals and/or looks as if you might like it. Start reading a new book, but finish this one first. If you are doing very detailed implementation and coding, read a book on design and architecture. If you are doing high-level design, read a book on coding techniques. Get out and talk technology with people who aren't involved in your current project, or who don't work for the same company. Network in your company cafeteria, or maybe seek out fellow enthusiasts at a local meetup.